Hi, everybody. Welcome to part number 2 of our Covenant God study. Last week, we looked at what a friend is. We discussed what friendship is. We also talked about the fact that the life is in the blood, and that to make a covenant, the verb is cut. You cut a covenant. We also talked about how in covenant, there is a mixing together or intertransfusion of blended blood. And because of that, you become one life or one soul. And that is where we get the word communion from. Communion being made up of two words, common and union. We also discussed the fact that God is your friend. No matter what, God is your friend. And we also then talked about how God wants you to be his friend. Our homework questions from last week. In homework question number 1, I'm just going to just quickly run through the answers. In question 1, what Sheikh Scoobly was saying was that a true friend will be there no matter what, no matter how badly you treat him or her, a true friend will never leave. The homework question number 2 dealt with dogs being referred to as being man's best friend. And I loved people's answers to this. A dog is faithful. A dog is loyal. It doesn't matter what you do to a dog, they don't leave you. But I think even more than that, no matter what you do to the dog, it's also always happy to see you. So that's pretty cool. Some really nice answers there. Homework question number 3 talked about the love that Jesus has for people, for you and I. And yes, Jesus was and is guilty of being a friend of tax collectors and sinners. In fact, not only is he a friend of tax collectors and sinners, but even the worst sinner that you can think of is included in there. Hannibal is included in there. Whether you repent or not, Jesus is still your friend. You can reject him till the day you die, and he will still be your friend. Now, you won't have covenant with him, but he was still faithful to you. He still loved you. And that's the point that we were looking at. In question number 4, well, wow, that God always initiates the covenants with man. Gosh, that tells me that God has earnestly, diligently sought me out and desired me. So, oh, wow. What more can I say? Okay, now to this week's lesson. And first of all, I just want us to discuss some vestiges or leftovers of blood covenant that we see in today's society. Because although covenant is not practiced very widely in the world today, we still have many customs that have actually originated from covenant. When two friends cut the covenant by mixing blood, there were a few different ways of doing this. Sometimes, like we mentioned last week, they would mix their own blood. And in a case like that, the two people would then cut themselves, usually on their hands, and press their wounds together so that the blood would intermingle. And that is actually where we get today's handshake from. Sometimes, instead of doing that, they would let their blood drip into a goblet of wine, which they would both then drink. And that is where we get our custom today of clinking together the wine glasses before drinking. And often they would use an animal's blood as a substitute for their own blood, especially if they were entering into a covenant with God or a false god, because no god has blood. So they would need something or someone to bleed on God or their God's behalf. At other times, blood substitutes were used. The most common of these would be wine, as we see with Jesus at the Last Supper in Luke 22 verse 20 and 1 Corinthians 11 verse 25. Wine is considered to be the blood of the grape in Deuteronomy 32 verse 14. Another blood substitute would be salt. And we see the salt covenant being mentioned in Leviticus 2:13 Numbers 18 verse 19 and 2 Chronicles 13 verse 5. Because these blood substitutes are still counted as blood, symbolically speaking, all covenants are therefore blood covenants. Even marriage is a blood covenant, because there is bloodshed when the woman's hymen is broken as the two become one flesh. Regardless of the method that the two covenant friends used, as the blood or blood substitute intermingled or was consumed, the friends believed that their lives were blending and becoming one, taking on the nature of their blood covenant partner. Once the blood of the covenant was mixed, then the next step was to make a scar over the cut. This scar would be a permanent testimony to the covenant. This was normally done by rubbing salt or ash into the wound. It would always be there as a guarantee, reminding the two parties of their covenant rights and responsibilities. This is why people greet one another by waving their hands in the air, because you recognize your blood covenant friend not by their face, but by their blood covenant scar. This, too, is the origin of raising our hands in our worship of God. Symbolically, as we do this, we are reminding God that we know that He is our covenant partner, and we are expressing our covenant devotion to Him. The different ways of cutting covenant that I've described here were practiced by cultures all over the world. The Israelites, however, had two restrictions that God placed on them that related to this. Number one, they were not to cut covenant with anyone who was not in covenant with God. Exodus 34 verse 12 to 16 says, "Take heed to yourself, lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land where you are going, lest it be a snare in your midst. But you shall destroy the altars, break their sacred pillars, and cut down their wooden images, for you shall worship no other god. For the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God, lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they play the harlot with their gods, and make sacrifice to their gods, and one of them invites you, and you eat of his sacrifice, and you take of his daughters for your sons, and his daughters play the harlot with their gods, and make your sons play the harlot with their gods." The reason for God forbidding them to do this is pretty clear in the scripture. Basically, what God was saying was, if you enter into covenant with people who worship and serve other gods, you will end up, and your children will end up worshiping and serving those other gods, those false gods. And actually, we see that happen time and time again in the Bible. This was one of the most common pitfalls and biggest traps that the Israelites kept falling into. In fact, Solomon, King Solomon, did this exact same thing. He married women who were not in covenant with God, and he ended up worshipping the other gods, these false gods. And in fact, even it appears in scripture that he actually sacrificed his own children to these false gods. The second restriction that God imposed on the people of Israel was that they were not to drink blood, human or animal. So obviously, they didn't then cut themselves and mix the blood in wine and so on. They either would mingle their own blood or they'd use an animal's blood, but they would never actually drink it or eat it in any way.